Live to see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-author, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing good, and made it to this Friday, and we got a good show lined up for tonight. So,
it's happy hour of The World Transformed. Yeah. It's Friday's here, and it's time to get happy again. We're doing a show which is nothing but reasons to be happy. We started the week out talking about risks. We spent the middle part of the week talking about amazing stuff, talking about how the big future's on its way, but it was still a pretty serious conversation. But tonight, Stephen, it's all happiness all the time. So after we get past this first story, actually, we've got to.
this first story might come across as a bit of a downer, but hey,
Actually, the whole rest of the show is in response to this one, okay? So the headline is Happiness is on the Wane in the U.S., UN Global Report finds. And this is really worrying to me. You know, I look at this and I say, what's going on here? Every year, I guess, they survey the countries of the world and say who's happy and why are they happy. In the U.S., we've fallen to 19th place in world happiness. I think we should be number one. But even if we're not number one, if we're not the happiest country in the world, we ought to be on the top five happy countries in the world, right? The United States of America.
Yeah, you would hope so, yeah.
Yeah. To be in 19th place is disconcerting. Now, the story goes immediately with the happiness in the U.S. is declining and is expected to continue on a downward path with Donald Trump's policies forecast to deepen the country's social crisis. Now, immediately, okay, here's how you could make me happier, okay? If anyone's interested in my personal happiness, okay? If everything that happens isn't about Donald Trump, I would immediately be happy. Right?
We tend to do that because, before everything was about Barack Obama. I mean, it's like, everything has some effect on it's either caused by or has some effect on the president,
and before that it was George W. Bush. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, it's come on. I mean, we're one individual does not make or break our happiness, and nor does it just doesn't work that way. You know, I mean, the president is not all powerful. You know, to either cause harm or cause good. So he does. The president gets more blame and more credit than he is to ever do, all the time.
All I can tell the people whose happiness has been significantly impacted by Donald Trump, and I'm speaking as a non-Trump voter here. Okay, I'm speaking as a person who was not a Donald Trump supporter. Okay, if your day-to-day happiness has been significantly impacted by who's elected president of the United States, just reconsider where your happiness is coming from, okay? You know, right. I think your diet could probably have a lot more to do with your happiness level than who's president. It should, you know? I mean, the people you encounter every day in your life should have a lot more impact on your happiness level than who's president of the United States. I just, the fact that would be driving our happiness level, I think, is just crazy. Because half the country, I think, from now on, is always going to be deeply dissatisfied with who's president. It's just kind of the way we've been polarized and the way we work. And, you know, we can't let that stuff get us down, right?
I've found a secret for my own personal happiness, Phil, is to watch less political coverage.
Hmm.
I ration myself on political news now, because I mean seriously, with 24/7 news cycles, and you could literally be plugged in all the time and find something to be outraged by all the time.
Yeah,
if that's the life you want to live, you can be angry all the time. There's something to be angry about,
and social media is just like this endless indignation machine. Right.
Right.
I go on my Facebook feed and it's like, well, who's pissed off about what now? right? Yeah. Here it comes. Let's
and
find
so,
out.
I try to personally, I've succumbed to a little of that over the years. But as I've grown older, I find myself doing less and less political posts on places like Facebook. I try to be relentlessly positive in everything I post on Facebook. If it's not a positive story or something that I'm pointing to, I'm at least something interesting, right?
Right.
I find that I'm just more and more that way because I found my own personal happiness affected so much by following politics too closely that I'll occasionally listen in, but it's just very occasionally. Just to kind of get the broad outlines, because the internet blows up over something new, and I'm going to get the outlines of what's going on, perhaps. But I really don't want to get lost in the weeds there, because it's,
yeah. Well, one thing I've found, and it really works for me, is I hide stories that I think are going to bring me down. If it's just contentious stuff, I mean, I'm not saying you bury your head in the sand and ignore the fact that there are serious things going on in the world. As citizens of a country that's democratic in its foundations and, a republic that we're responsible for part of the government, okay, we got to know stuff. We have to be informed citizens. But mostly you're not getting informed, right? Mostly you're being told what you're supposed to be upset about. And that's pointless. I see a lot of stuff on my Facebook feed. I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to read it. And a lot of times I'll see something from somebody I know and they say something that's just so flagrantly wrong. And they could be feeling so much better about the world if they would just look at it differently. And I don't engage there either, right? Because I know, I know it's going to drag me down.
Have I ever been able to convince anybody of anything politically on Facebook? I doubt it.
Right, right.
And, I'm either preaching to the choir or
you're going to make them mad. They're just going to get mad at you. And
That's right. So
I just don't. If there's unhappy people listening to this program, I want you to know that we got nothing but happiness for the rest of the show. Okay, that's if you're unhappy about Trump or anything else, just listen to these stories. Okay, and let's focus on some of this stuff because we got the goods. We got the goods tonight. Okay, let's begin with is this one of the coolest things ever? Whole body vibration may be as effective as regular exercise. Okay, every story here is about either how you can slack off or you can eat cake. That's basically, let me just spoil the show. Okay.
I love it.
That's what we're talking about here. Huh? Whole body vibration may be as effective as regular exercise. You know what's most interesting to me about this? As I was reading about this, and I had posted it on Facebook, an interesting discussion starts in the comments. This is not particularly new news. This research got a lot of attention on social media in the past week, and it's very interesting. Apparently, you can sit or lie or stand on a vibrating platform, and it will excite your muscles to the extent that a little bit of that every day is about as effective as working out. Research actually confirms that that's the case. So you can, basically passively, by putting yourself on this vibrating platform, get the benefit of an exercise. The fact is, people have been selling these vibrating platforms for years. Sean Thuris sent me a link to just a page of them on Amazon, and they get great reviews. People write these testimonials. They talk about the fact, either I never could get in shape, and now I got one of these, and I'm in the best shape of my life. Or I do this, and I exercise, and here are the results I've had. This is like a really well kept secret if it actually works. I don't know, Stephen.
Well,
what do you think?
I'm not in particularly good shape, and not using the one that I own on a regular basis, but I may start doing so because the reason I bought mine was therapeutic.
You have one. You've got one of these.
One.
So tell us about it.
I have one. Well, it's a platform, and I would say it's about 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. It looks like an exercising machine, you know, without the exercise, right? It's because it's got the it's got handrails and it's got the control panel on it and everything, and you can set it for different levels of vibration and, you know, or waves of vibration, things like that. And and the reason I purchased it was not to get in shape, because I didn't even know that that was a part of the picture. I did it for purposes of some pain I was having as a result of an automobile accident I had a few years ago.
And
it was recommended. You need to come into our office and use our vibration machine. Well, I said, well, how much do these things cost? Well, it wasn't terribly expensive, Phil. It seemed like about 5 years ago, a couple $100 or something.
There's plenty of them available today for about that price range too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not terribly expensive. I said, hey, if it's going to help me with pain, I'll just purchase one, and I did. And Sherilyn, my wife, uses it a lot more often than I do, it certainly works for pain. Now, learning that it might be as effective as exercise, man, I'm going to be on that thing, like, you know, as soon as I get finished recording this show. I think I'll wait till then, because I think it might be destructive, otherwise. But
check it out. See, if you get a chance, start, you know, give it 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. I mean, Google and see what you're supposed to do, but give it a try for a week or two, and let's have you report back. I'd be really interested to hear about this. You know, what kind
Absolutely. I'll do that. And I mean, it's, and I promise you, it's, you know, it's not one of these things where, you know, you're breaking a sweat and you're just and you're sitting there huffing and puffing, even though you're not moving, kind of thing. It really is as easy as it sounds. I mean, you're standing on a platform that vibrates. Your muscles, do passively, they do things to compensate for the vibration. And so I can see how it could be helpful.
One of the stories we didn't get to on Wednesday, which was connected to our cellular aging good news story, was this story from the Mayo Clinic. I'll go ahead and add that to the outline for tonight's show. Mayo Clinic discovers high-intensity aerobic training can reverse aging. This is an interesting story, because it's like, well, if you don't mind doing some HIT training, I said you can slack off for the rest of the show. So this is just a bonus story. You don't have to pay attention to this if you don't want to, if this doesn't make you happy to hear about high-intensity training. But I think it's pretty cool, because high-intensity training is, not nearly as time-consuming. You work out for a very high burst of intensity, and not only do you get significant, often muscle building and cardio stimulation, but now they're saying there's evidence that this can back up your aging. Well, doesn't that sound like a great program? You know, if you can combine those two, right? Do a little bit of high intensity, a couple days a week, and then the rest of the time. I personally work from home and I work at a standing desk. I'm thinking, I'll get one of these vibration things and, you know, I'll give myself a good workout every day, right? You know, just stand on that thing for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is while I'm working, and then do some HIT on the side. I'm going to be a machine, right? I mean, come on.
I love it. I love it. I will commit to doing 10 minutes a day and report back in a couple of weeks. Let you know how I'm feeling.
Do that, because if it's working, Stephen, you've sold me. I'm gonna get one myself, and folks, if you can't get happy about anything else, just think about what great shape Stephen and I are going to be in. That's got to make everybody happy.
And we'll report to you guys if it actually works. And
might share pictures. Okay, so here's the next story. More happiness right here. Being lazy is the key to success, according to the best-selling author of Moneyball. This is fun because it's one of those great misleading headlines that I do like. You know, a lot of times headlines irritate me because they take you in this completely wrong direction. And this sort of misdirects you. But
yeah.
it's not actually wrong. I mean, this is just another way kind of looking at it, because he talks about growing up in New Orleans, and Stephen, as a Louisiana person, you can maybe comment on this.
New Orleans has the nickname the Big Easy, because, you know, let's just quote this guy. I grew up in New Orleans where no one did anything. It's an endlessly charming and delightful place, but the idea that your worth was connected to things you do is alien. So,
if we can just move on to the platitude here, because I just love this. I'm thinking about putting this on my wall. Do as little as possible, and that unwillingly, because it is better to receive a slight reprimand than perform an arduous task.
this is like the opposite of the advice that we've received all our lives, isn't it?
This is the Louisiana Catholic answer to the Protestant work ethic, I think, right there.
That's right. Like, do only what you absolutely have to do.
Want a response to the Protestant work ethic, there it is. Well, I love that, but that basic principle, he has applied and has done it very well, right? What he talks about is not avoiding work altogether, but what he talks about is, you know, eliminating the extraneous and just doing those things that are valuable, those things that are effective, those things that are really going to that are going to move you along. And I think to think of that as a species of laziness is kind of eye-opening. That's kind of like, that's a good way of looking at it, actually, because when you look at it that way, it kind of relates to this concept of ephemeralization that we talk about all the time, this idea of doing more with less. And even if you sync it back to the last story, if you can get as much health benefit from doing a quick high-intensity workout as you could from, going jogging for 45 minutes, it just makes sense to do that, right? If you can get as much exercise benefit from just standing on a platform for 10 minutes as you could from doing the high-intensity workout, it just makes sense, right, to do that. You know, it's like your basic lazy instinct can, if channeled correctly, can really push you in a positive direction, right?
Well, I think the channeling is the key. I had a professor back when I was in school that said, you never met a lazy person. And I laughed and said, what are you talking about?
let me introduce you to some people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some relatives you could meet, actually. No.
Yeah, that's right. He says, no. He says, you show me the laziest person in your life. And I will show you someone that might be misdirected. You know, maybe they don't on their job they don't do anything, and they get fired from go to job to job because they're not doing anything that they love. But follow them when they're on their off time. They are like devoted to some. You know, maybe they got a car in their garage they're trying to a hot rod they're trying to soup up, or maybe. There's this or that. There's some passion that they have,
right?
That they just throw themselves into. They're not lazy. They're just, they're devoted to that. And in a world where the boundaries between work and play are being erased, maybe that's a good thing for people like that, right? The thing that you love and have passion for, perhaps you can monetize and actually earn your living doing, rather than some drudgery job that you just can't stand, and therefore, you do as little as possible, and then unwillingly do, right? So, laziness might be the wrong word here, because I'm not sure that, having listened to that professor in that point of view, I'm not 100% sure there isn't laziness in this world. I think what there is misdirection, and so.
If you look at how hard people work at leisure, right? Hard people work on their vacation. It's like people who groan about getting up at 6:30 in the morning. We'll go on vacation and they'll get up at 4:30 in the morning and go fishing, right, or something like that. I mean, it's.
I've reached the age, Phil, where at the end of my vacation, I'm like, I need to get back to work.
Get some rest.
This is exhausting.
Yeah, I was telling you about being at the ski resort last week, right? I mean, those people are working hard at relaxing, right?
That's right.
not just wiping out and stuff, but you see him at the end of the day, and it's like, wow, the rubber legs and all that kind of stuff. It's true. It's truly not laziness. It's being able to direct your energies in the positive direction and get the biggest bang for your buck, right? That's really what we're talking about doing here. But if it helps you to think about it in terms of laziness, think about it that way. It's not a bad way of looking at it, as long as you don't wreck your life with it, I guess. That's the one thing. Speaking of wrecking your life, how about this story? Eating chocolate cake for breakfast is good for the brain and the waistline. Oh, I left out the two most important words. Research shows. Okay.
Hey, so, you don't want to be a science denier, Phil. So,
look.
Eat your cake, man.
I didn't have time to read the story, but research shows that eating chocolate cake for breakfast is good for the brain and the waistline. I'm done. All right. That's it. I'm going to go get some chocolate cake and have my breakfast. You know what's funny about this is my brother actually chimed in on Facebook on this when he says, well, look, hey, I eat 3 chocolate donuts for breakfast every day. My weight's been a consistent 195 pounds, and I'm thinking better than ever. And I wrote him back, and I said, well, why stop there? Let's get you up to 6 chocolate donuts a day. And then I said, wait, let's think about this. I think if you eat 9 chocolate donuts a day, we'll probably get your weight down to about 175, and we'll get you on Jeopardy, and you'll set a new record for, the biggest winning streak ever on Jeopardy, right? Because that's the logic, right? The more chocolate cake you eat, the thinner you'll be, and the smarter you'll be. Okay, obviously that's absurd, but is there anything to this at all, right? Is this story just another, it's kind of how you look at it thing, or should we all be eating chocolate cake for breakfast? What do you think, Stephen?
Even the most strict low-carb diets, for example, typically will give you like a day off a week or something like that. Here's your cheat day. Make it Saturday or whenever you want it. Typically, and you can eat whatever you like. Just blow it on Saturday and then tighten it back down on, Sunday through Friday, right?
Right.
There's something about that. It allows the body to kind of reset. Would tend to be in kind of a starvation kind of mode where the body you can actually lose weight better, it seems, with these cheat days than without it. So maybe something like that.
Well, why is because you don't cheat as much the rest of the time, right?
That's right.
You've always got that to look forward to. If you're tempted to cheat, you can always think, well, I got my day and I can wait and I'll.
That apple pie or whatever looks great, but I don't have to have it this minute. It's going on the list for Saturday.
Right.
I'll have that. And so that's perhaps that, it's taking human nature into account, but it may also be some physiology going on there that your body just needs that occasionally to convince it it's not starving. And not go into starvation mode here and try to conserve every carb, right? So I think there may be something going on there like that, and so I don't doubt that this is true.
If nothing else, this story tells you the right time to eat chocolate cake, right?
Yeah. For breakfast.
Don't eat it at night. Eat it first thing in the morning. That's really kind of what the story. It doesn't really tell you that. I'm sorry. I don't think it really tells you you're going to lose weight if you eat chocolate cake in spite of what the headline says. But what it does say, if you're eating chocolate cake anyway, right, you're way better off eating it in the morning than you would be eating it at night. So if you're going to have some, definitely have it for breakfast. That seems to be the best way to eat chocolate cake. And I don't know, it just sounds really good, right? Get up in the morning.
There's eggs, there's flour.
We've heard the argument. Yeah, that's right. There's nutrition in chocolate cake.
That's right.
Before 9 o'clock, okay, folks? So set your alarms. If you're going to have chocolate cake, make sure you get up and plow into it. And then if you're feeling bad, just get on your vibration machine and do an extra 5 minutes on the vibration machine while you're watching TV, and it'll.
Or you can be on the vibration machine while you eat your chocolate cake. You won't even have to chew; you just put it in your mouth and the vibration.
You never have to worry again. Go. That's right. You can eat anything you want as long as you're standing on that thing.
Hilarious.
You burn that thing out. But anyway, I hope that those have all been examples of, you know, it's not just that there's good things going on, which there are, but that there are different ways of looking at things. I think that's kind of the important message about happiness as far as I'm concerned. I think it was actually Martha Washington who is quoted as saying, you know, people are about as happy as they decide to be. And I think there's a lot of, if you decide to be happy in this life, there are a lot of good reasons to be happy. There's a lot of, you know, you can look around and you can find good reasons to be happy. You don't have to look at the things that are going
to
make you unhappy. And particularly
from our point
of view. If
you decide to be unhappy, there's plenty of reasons for that too, right? So yeah, it depends on what you're focusing on.
More than sufficient reasons to be unhappy, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
What we try to do is give you reasons to be happy. And hey, if you want some reasons to be happy, let me tell you where you can get 99 reasons to be happy, okay? Our book, Visions for a World Transformed, is available. It's available on Amazon for your Kindle. It's available on paperback. We've been announcing it on social media this week. I've reached out to all the authors to let them know to get their copies out to their moms and, you know, other people, other deserving individuals. You can get the book for free. It's available for free for 5 days a month on Kindle, or if you have a subscription to Kindle, you can just download it onto your Kindle, or you can buy it for 99 cents on your Kindle, or you can buy the paperback version. A lot of different ways of acquiring this book. If you don't want to pay for it, you can get it for free, as I said, 5 days a month. If you do pay for it,
we had to do that, right? Because it was tricky to get it to be free all the time under using the Kindle system. So
it was tricky to get it to be free all the time, and the paperback was going to cost anyway. So
right.
We said, all right, well, we'll put it down here at the lowest price point, 99 cents. And if you decide you can't wait, or you don't have a subscription and you want to pay the 99 cents, don't worry. All the proceeds, all the royalties are going to, we're saving up and we're buying additional paperback copies to give to school libraries. So the book is a self-reinforcing kind of agent of happiness. It's Visions for a World Transformed. It's 99 ways we can make the world a better place. Some brilliant ideas from folks who've been on this show and other friends of ours and ourselves contributing thoughts for, you know, how you can make the world a little bit better. Check it out. You got the link right there in the show notes. This is a book. Let me just say, you know, although I'm intimately involved in this book, this is a book worth having, don't you think, Stephen?
Yeah. And some of these ideas are, you know, I mean, if you don't have a lot of time to sit down and read, I mean, some of these things are like really short, you know, that you just, you know, you can hit, and it's like potato chips. You could hit five or six of these ideas and, you know, real quick and have five or six things to be happy about, like in one 10-minute sitting, right?
That's so, right. There's 99 essays in there. About half of them are longer essays, and half of them are just bite-sized. They're paragraphs, 100 words or less. So if you need a jolt of happiness, you just open it and you can find one of those, and boom, there's an idea to make the world better. Or I like your comparison. Instead of eating a bowl of chips, sit down and read five or six really good ideas for making the world a better place.
On your vibration machine. So, yeah, that's right.
Perfect. That will do it. Absolutely. Well, you're going to be hearing more about the book. We're going to be having the authors back on to talk about their contributions, and there's going to be opportunities for all of us to continue generating good ideas. And I can't think of anything that would make the world a better place or make people happier than getting proactive about generating these kinds of ideas. So check out the book. And, you know, Stephen, we forgot to do Other Geek tonight. I guess we'll have to let our book plug be our Other Geek.
I guess so. And we'll Other Geek will be back in a more we'll have more stuff to talk about Other Geek next week.
We've always got loads of geeky stuff to talk about. I tell you what, next Friday we'll do an all geek show just to make up for
just
to make up for the lack of geek. So hey, check out the book, folks. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back again next week with three brand new shows. And until next time, live to see it.